Man, just think of this. God thinks so much. Wow. I mean, I'm just getting overwhelmed standing here thinking about it. That God thinks so much of us that he reveals his name to us. He lets us know him by his name. And you know, it's not like, you know, the world, because the world might say, well, there's a God somewhere. That we know that there's a all-powerful being somewhere. The world might say that. But brothers and sisters, you and I, we have the opportunity to know this God by name and call him by his name.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Introduction to the Names of God.
I'm going to start a series today on the names of God. And as we look at the names of God, what I want to focus on specifically is praying the names of God. God revealed himself in certain ways in the scripture. And I believe that the ways that God revealed himself is a reflection of his character. And it is a way for us to maybe pray more specifically to God. Now again, you know, we don't have to have any great formula, or we don't have to have some plan figured out. You know, I think of Peter, that when he was out on the boat and he saw Jesus walking on water, and he wanted to come, and Jesus bid him come, and that when Peter began to walk on the water, all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, maybe he got his eye off of Jesus and on the fish and on the waves, but he began to sink. And he prayed a very simple prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. He prayed, Lord, save me. You know, Lord, help me. And so those two words, or three words, were very meaningful and connected with God. And so God doesn't need any flowery introductions. He doesn't need any eloquent prayers using big words. But as we look at the names of God, what we're going to see is that it better helps us to understand who God is. And as we understand who God is in a more significant way, then we can pray to God in specific ways that we can connect with heaven. I'm going to start out by reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses, and this is the burning bush experience, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this was a great call. And this call came as Moses was going about his business. He saw a burning bush, and he went to this bush. And it was out there God said that I have called you to go and bring my people out of bondage. And Moses, he had some issues, right? We know that Moses had a speech problem. And so he realized that maybe he wasn't the most eloquent person to bring this message to the people of God. And so I believe that even if we go on to read in the book of Exodus, that Moses actually comes up with about three or four more excuses as to why he shouldn't be the one. Right. But here he's almost asking God, well, who should I say sent me? You know, they're not going to believe me. Who am I that if I go and try to tell them that I'm going to lead them out of bondage? Why should they listen to me? So in a sense, And this is Pastor Glaze, right? You know, I think that Moses might, from that point right there, have been trying to, you know, wiggle his way out of it. He said, who shall I say is sending me? And God tells him, tell him that I am is sending you. You know, God is saying, I am who I am. I am who I want to be. I am who I need to be. I am the self-existent one. I don't need anything outside of me to exist. I don't have a lifeline supporting me. I don't have to eat food so I can sustain myself. I don't need water so that I can keep living. He said that I am the self-existent one. Now, what are the implications of I am? Let me share with you three implications of the fact that God said, I am. First of all, he's the God who never changes, right? God says that I am. And in the book of Hebrews, we read that he says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That God never changes. You know, I remember back in the day when I used to play sports, and you know, God blessed me to be able to get a scholarship to college and play 4 years of college, and then I was able to have a couple professional tryouts. And I remember, you know, back in those days, and I've said this before here from Bethany Baptist Church, right, that I was able to bend steel with my bare hands. I was more speeding, more faster than a powerful locomotive. And, you know, and I, you know, I had all my life ahead of me. I had a head full of hair. You know, I had a chest that was popped out. I had biceps and triceps. Look at me now, right? Nothing up here, beard all white. I heard somebody say that you got chest of drawers. My chest done fall down into my drawers. You know, I told my wife one time that I got the body of a 20-year-old. And she said, well, you better give it back because you're getting it all gray and wrinkled. So, you know, we change, you know, all of us, you know, no matter who we are, that we are going to change. You know, some people want to hold on to their youth forever. But I got bad news for you that it's going to flee from you, that you're not going to have it all the time. But still, we serve a God who says that he's the great I am and that he never changes. That God never changes. That's the first implication of God saying, I am. The second implication is that he is a God beyond all comprehension. We can't understand God. I was talking to a lady one time, and she was telling me, she said, well, I have a hard time, you know, with God. She said, because I don't understand God. And, you know, and I don't think that she was talking about, well, I don't understand his will for my life, or I don't understand, you know, what his purpose is for me. I don't think that was what she was talking about. But she was saying that, you know, I just can't understand. I can't comprehend God. And the fact that he says I am, that I am who I want to be. I am who I am. I am who I want to be. That there is a certain infinity to that, a certain infiniteness to that. And so that when God says I am, that means that we can't comprehend him. Let me ask you this, my brothers and sisters. How many of us want a God that we can comprehend? If we had a God that we could fully comprehend, and now again, we want to be able to understand, you know, his purposes for our lives. We want to understand his will for our life. But we'll never be able, with our finite minds, even when we get into glory, that we will not be able to comprehend this majestic God. So when he says that I am, the first implication is that he never changes. The second implication is that we can't comprehend him. And the third implication is that he is the all-sufficient one. And in regards to our sufficiency. We know that he is self-sufficient, but not only that, but he takes care of us. That when he says, I am, and Jesus, when he came along, Jesus told them that he was the I am. And what does it mean when Jesus said that he was I am? He was the bread of life, right? He was the way, the truth, and the life. He was the resurrection and the life. He was the light of the world. He was the door to the sheep. He was the true vine. And so whatever we need, Jesus said that he was able to bring it, especially in the area of salvation. And so the fact that God said, I am, means that he never changes, that he's beyond our comprehension, and that he is the God who supplies for us. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Now, let me take a second here, and I'm going to go a little bit deep now. You know, we have the PowerPoint slide, so I know it's going to be showing to help us work our way through this part right here. But when God told Moses, I am, this is what's known, and again, getting a little deep here, right? But I'm going to try to break it down so that you understand, because I think this is significant as to where we're going in the rest of this message. This is what's known as the Tetragrammaton. It's actually when God told Moses, I am. He just used four consonants, and they're up there on your screen, the four consonants. And the way that this is pronounced is Yahweh. And the word Yahweh, you know, in what Moses, what God was telling Moses, is he said that I am, I will be what I will be. And when we think about this concept of the Tetragrammaton, those four letters, those four powerful letters, we see that God uses them to reveal his character. That God says, and as we continue on in the message and as we continue on in the series, you know, we're going to talk about coupling. Woo! Man, this is powerful. We're going to talk about coupling this Tetragrammaton, this I am, with other concepts, you know, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. So we're going to take that and we're going to couple it with some other things and show that this is dealing with the character of God. Now, when God told Moses, I am, and Moses asked God, well, you know, who shall I say send them? In essence, Moses was asking God, By what character will you reveal yourself? How are you going to reveal yourself to your people? And how are you going to relate to your people? And so Moses was actually making an appeal to God to say, how are you going to make yourself known unto your people? And God says, I am. And you can put with that whatever you need. You can put with that whoever I want to be, that I am. And so it was actually a revelation of the character of God. And again, as we go through this, we're going to look at the specific character of God. But God is saying, I'm getting ready to reveal my character to you. What a powerful concept that we can know the character of God. Just think, some religions have a God and all they see is a force in the sky that a lot of times is unhappy because they're not doing the right thing. But thank God that we have a God that loves us. We have a God who wants to reveal his character to us. You know, in the ancient world, it was a privilege to know somebody's name. That if somebody wanted to have a special relationship with you, that they would reveal their name. And maybe it might not be a name that would be known to other people. Now, many people here at Bethany know my nickname, right? And and they got it because some of the Bethany members know some people that I grew up with. And they said, oh, Bunny Glaze is your pastor, right? And so that's a special name, right? And a lot of people don't call me that. I remember my aunt came to visit us at church one Sunday, and we allow visitors, you know, at the time we were allowing visitors to stand up if they wanted to say a word. Now, my brother's name, and I'm just going to tell you this, hopefully he's not going to watch this this sermon. But if Emil, forgive me for saying this, but his name was Funnel. And my middle brother named him because he saw a funnel and he started calling him Funnel. So growing up, my nickname was Bunny and his nickname was Funnel. And so I remember my aunt, you know, she came to church one day, and Emil happened to be sitting up in the pulpit that day. And she said, yeah, I'm glad to come and see my two nephews, Reverend Bunny and Reverend Funnel. So, you know, we had those special names, right, that she knew. And so to know a person's name was a privilege. And so God, man, just think of this. God thinks so much. Wow. I mean, I'm just getting overwhelmed standing here thinking about it. That God thinks so much of us that he reveals his name to us. He lets us know him by his name. And you know, it's not like, you know, the world, because the world might say, well, there's a God somewhere. That we know that there's a all-powerful being somewhere. The world might say that. But brothers and sisters, you and I, we have the opportunity to know this God by name and call him by his name. In the New Testament, there's a word that's used, Abba, Abba Father. That the world can't say that about this God. That we can call him Abba Father. You know, I think of the various roles that I have played over my lifetime. I've been a son, and my mother, you know, she called me her son. I've been a football coach, and the guys there called me coach. I'm a pastor. People call me pastor. Sometimes I go out and preach. People call me reverend. You know, I've been called, and I say this jokingly sometimes. I remember when I was dealing with some issues with my kids at school, right? And I would call and talk to their teacher, and I would say, this is Dr. William R. Glaze. You know, so, you know, you kind of use, you know, the titles that you have to what? Reflect, you know, who you are, and to reflect what you can do. And so God gives us his names so that we can understand his workings. And I like what it says in Psalm 103, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And we can know this God by name, and we can call him by his name. That's a privilege. Do you realize, saints, that you have the privilege, unlike others, that you have the privilege to call God by his name? Before I kind of wind this thing down, let me share with you the sacredness of this name. See, now what I told you, that you can call him by his name. This name I Am, right? This name Yahweh. But look at the sacredness of this name. And now this is from man's perspective, so I want to say that. But this showed you how the Jewish people treated this holy in this righteous name. The divine name, those four consonants, Yahweh, right, was not pronounced by Jewish people. Instead, they would substitute the name Adonai. That those consonants, that they were too holy to pronounce, and so they substituted. I know we've done Passover Seders here at Bethany. We did one last year. We had Rabbi Kip come in, and I remember, you know, when he was reading the prayer, and you know, there were several times in there he used the word Adonai, right? And so Adonai actually was substituted for this holy and this righteous name that God has revealed himself to us by. The Jewish scribes, that whenever they were translating the Old Testament, before they would write the sacred name, they would take a bath. They would completely wash themselves because they didn't want to have any stain or filth on them whenever they wrote this sacred and holy name. They would take a bath before they wrote the name of God. What are some reasons why they didn't want to pronounce it? Well, they believed that it was too sacred to pronounce. They believed that they might fear, they feared arousing the wrath of God. So they didn't want to pronounce that name. And then there was no infinite word that could describe an infinite God. And so they felt that even that name, as holy and sacred as it was, that it didn't do the justice to God that needed to be done. Let me finish the message with sharing some of the names of God. And you know, one of the things that I want to look at in this series, Saints, is that, you know, I want to look at how can we pray the names of God. Now, again, I don't want us to get bogged down with technicalities and believe that we have to do things a certain way. No, that's not the point. But my point is that as we understand the name of God and as we understand his character, then as we pray, you know, we can be more meditative and more reflective in our prayer. So let me just go through these real quick. One is Jehovah Jireh, and that means the Lord will provide. How can we pray? We can pray for wisdom for life situations. We can ask God for financial blessings whenever, you know, we find ourselves in need. We can ask God for material provisions whenever we are in need. The Lord will provide. So as I pray, you know, just say I have a financial need. And I say, you know, God, I believe that you're able to meet this need. Lord, I believe that you will provide for this need. And I'm calling on you, Jehovah Jireh. Right? You see, you know, again, not that you needed to say that. But just think now, when I understand who God is, that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he's able to provide a ram in the bush. Oh, praise his name. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. And this means victory. That whenever, say in our daily struggle against the flesh, that we need victory. And we can pray to Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner, for victory in our lives. Oh, I love this one right here. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. In times of death, whenever we are fearful, whenever we are uncertain, that we can pray to Yahweh Shalom. And I just want to say, I'm hitting this real quick now, but I'm going back through each one of these in detail. And we're going to dig down into the roots of these names and pull out some things that will just strengthen us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Introduction to the Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Introduction to the Names of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Names of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Names of God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.